This is iFaith 82. We're in 2 Kings. Last time we were in chapter 5. Today we'll start in chapter 6. Now I know I promised we'd be looking at Josiah, an important figure who ends up later on in the book. But when we get to 1 and 2 Chronicles, we'll be able to cover this material quite easily. The title of today's message is Cannibalism, Desperate Lepers, and a Faithless Captain. Now, I can assure you I've never been a cannibal, but I have been a faithless captain and a desperate leper. So let's get into our text, which will come from the end of chapter 6 and the beginning of chapter 7 of 2 Kings. Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, mustered his entire army and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver, and a fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 shekels of silver. This is siege condition. Syria, Israel's neighbor, is besieging the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel, that is, the city of Samaria. And as normally happens in a siege, resources are really precious, especially food and water. And they're trying to starve out the Israelites. And it gets so bad that people are eating donkeys' heads, like donkeys' brains, and excrement from doves and charging extortionate prices. High prices for things that you really don't want to eat. This is bad. How bad? We continue. As the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord will not help you, how shall I help you? From the threshing floor or from the winepress?" And the king asked her, "What is your trouble?" And she replied, "This woman said to me, 'Give your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.' So we boiled my son and ate him. And on the next day I said to her, 'Give your son so we can eat him.' But she's hidden her son." When the king heard the words of the woman, he tore his clothes. Now he was passing by on the wall, and the people looked, and there was sackcloth beneath on his body. And he said, "May God do so to me, and more also, if the head of Elisha, son of Shaphat, remains on his shoulders today." But Elisha said, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord." Basically, he says that the prices for food will normalize, the famine will end. He says, "Tomorrow, about this time, a seah of fine flour will be sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." Now, what's going on here? Well, what's going on is what happens in horrible conditions, cannibalism, something that we read about multiple times in the Old Testament in such situations. And a woman made an agreement with her neighbor. They ate her son, and now it was the neighbor's son, and she just couldn't do it. And who can blame her? And they appealed to the king. And the king is already saddened. He's mourning. He's wearing sackcloth. He's at the end of his rope. And he lashes out in anger at the Lord's spokesman, at the prophet Elisha, who says, basically, "I want to cut off his head." This is some pretty intense scripture, we admit. But his anger is really misdirected, because Elisha will predict the end of the famine. Elisha's not the cause of it. In this case, it's because of Israel's sin. And now we meet the next character, the faithless captain. Then the captain, on whose hand the king leaned, said to the man of God, "If the Lord himself should make windows in heaven, could this thing be?" That is, could prices normalize? Could the famine end? You know, it's hopeless. The Lord himself couldn't do it. But he said, "You shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it." That seems to be Elisha's response. Well, it will happen, but with that attitude, you're not going to benefit in the least. Now, there were 4 men who were lepers at the entrance to the gate. And they said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say, 'Let us enter the city,' the famine is in the city, and if we shall die there, and if we sit here, we die also. So now come, let's go over to the camp of the Syrians. If they spare our lives, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." Well, these are the final characters we meet in our story. four lepers in an impossible situation. They're at the gate. They're, that is almost outside the city, which of course they don't want to open the gate to the Syrians. That they go into the city, they'll die. There's no food. If they stay there, they'll die. They have nothing to lose. And so they reason, let's take a chance. Let's go outside the city. Let's go to the enemy. Let's go to the enemy camp. If they kill us, we've lost nothing. If they spare us, well, maybe they'll feed us. Maybe we'll live. And note here the role of simple reason. In our previous iFaith message, we saw Naaman, the king of the king's commander, the military commander of the Syrians, who had the skin problem. And ultimately, although he was a proud man, he listened to reason, just from a servant. He was willing to listen. Reason convinces him to take a risk, to trust the God of Israel. Now here we have four Israelites who are going to venture into the Syrian camp, and they have nothing to lose. They're using just very basic reason. So before we had the Syrian coming into Israel because he's desperate, and now we have Israelites going into Syria. Interesting combinations. So the lepers arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. So they get up early. I think they're not totally sure, but at least if it's dark, they won't be recognized so easily. When they came to the edge of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no one there. Now, I could read the rest of this, but time prohibits that. But basically, the Syrians are gone. And not only is the camp empty, but they haven't taken their things with them. So there's food and treasure and drink and everything is everywhere. And these lepers go crazy, like, wow. Let's read. When these lepers came to the edge of the camp, they went into a tent and ate and drank, and they carried off silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. They came back, entered another tent, carried off things from it, and went and hid them. They're not planning to share these things. They're taking them for themselves. Now, it turns out that a feast was just a short walk away. All they had to do was go outside the gate of Samaria, and everything they needed was right there. And their initial reaction is to hoard, to pile up everything just for themselves. But as with the message of Christ, it's better if the good news is shared. And so they said to one another, now look again, the role of reason. We're not doing right. This day is a day of good news. If we are silent and wait until the morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now therefore come, let's go and tell the king's household. That is, they're saying, we should go back into the city of Samaria and let the leaders know about the situation. Since others are starving, not sharing would be criminal. So they make a very reasonable decision. Let's share. They have enough for themselves. And of course, the matter is time sensitive because people are starving. People are dying. Babies are being boiled. This is something that requires immediate action. Now, we have a few more verses to look at in a moment. But by now, probably, if you're thinking like a Christian, you're realizing there are certain parallels with our world and spiritual reality. That our world is in a desperate situation. That there is an enemy. But there is good news. We don't have to be conquered by the enemy. But the news is so good, we want to share it with other people. Sharing is natural. I became a Christian when I was 18. Of course, some of the first people I shared with were family members, people I knew from school. I think the first person who was baptized was the janitor. He was the caretaker in my dorm. I talked to students when I became a Christian. I talked to whoever was there. I remember him, Art. He was the first that I had some family members. I shared with other students. I went to grad school. I couldn't just share with students. One day I met a guy in the Navy. I talked to him, and he was baptized. And it was the beginning of a ministry to the U.S. Navy. Moving to London on a mission team, the first person I reached out to who became a Christian was my boss. And that was just a few weeks after coming to the UK. Then there were students and university ministry. And over the years, and I was really privileged to be able to work and live in Europe for so long, I've been able to study with Muslims and Jews and Buddhists and Hindus, agnostics, atheists. And in my neighborhood where we live now, we have Scots, because we're in Scotland, people from all over Europe, Asia, the Middle East. No one has to tell me to share my faith. No one had to tell me when I first became a Christian, because I realized my own desperate situation. I understood what God had done, and I understood that others needed this same good news, or they would starve, not starve physically, but a spiritual starvation. So sharing is natural. It's very sad, I think, when you have situations where leaders feel they have to command people to share the good news. You know, it is a command, fine, but it's a command a little bit like breathe fresh air. Yeah, if you spend all day in a hole and you're breathing bad air, that's going to hurt you. But most people know. I mean, it's just a natural thing to breathe fresh air. Well, let's return to the story of the lepers and the faithless captain. So they came and they called to the gatekeepers of the city and they told them. Wow. They came and they told. It's a lot like a passage in Matthew 28, not the end of the chapter, earlier. Come, see, go, tell. When we come and we see and then we tell. And these men, as far as we know, they're not cured of their leprosy, but they're still winners. They still come out well. Their lives are saved. The Lord uses them to help others. They purposed to save the lives of others, and in doing so, they saved the city. And then we read, the people went out, because now the news has become public. The Israelites go out, and they plunder the camp of the Syrians. And they just go into the camp, and they're doing the same thing. They're going crazy. And so, basically, prices were normalized according to the word of the Lord. The city is saved. Now, soon after, in the next century, it won't be saved. There'll be a siege. The Assyrians will take the city of Samaria. And just over a century later, it'll happen again, but not in Samaria, but in Jerusalem, the capital of the southern kingdom. So it's quite ominous to those who know the story. And maybe we should recall that 2 Kings is written after the fall of Jerusalem. One more verse. Now the king had appointed the captain to have charge of the gate, and the people trampled him in the gate so that he died. What does this mean? That skeptical king who said, oh, even God can't turn our situation around. It's hopeless. He's at the gate. That's the exit point. And when the good news is proclaimed, the people rush out, and the captain, sadly, he's trampled to death. And so he presumably heard the good news, but he did not benefit from it. Let's make some application here. Okay, we are poor lepers with nothing to lose. Now, I know it's easier to be negative, it's easier to be skeptical, but don't do that. Take a chance on faith. Let's believe the good news, not just, okay, I accept that it's true. No, but believe it. Invest ourselves, not like the faithless captain. We mustn't keep the message to ourselves. People are starving for an authentic relationship with God, and this is time sensitive. So who do I want to be like in this story? Well, if I had to choose between the captain and the desperate lepers, I choose the lepers. The world is in darkness. And if we are silent until morning light, when the Lord returns and judgment day begins, if we wait that long, it will be too late. And that's the message today from the book of 2 Kings. Next, we'll be going into 1 and 2 Chronicles. These are the two books that will conclude this unit in the iFaith series. Thanks for listening. God bless you. Have a great day.